So Doc, are you Pastor Doc or Doc Doc?
Pastor 5 years year ago.
So he's a pastor.
But I just preach at different churches.
So you're Pastor
Hughes? Yes, please. Morning, everybody.
Morning.
Yeah, down here. Thank you, sir. Mr. Don. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7, if you want to open in yours. Otherwise, I had one printed off, so we're all coming from the same page. Be honest with you, there are very few churches that I preach at that I want to come back to for fellowship. There's, out of all the hundreds of churches I've preached at in 42 years, you say, he's not that old. Yes, he is. All you have to do is be in conversation with me, and I'm talking about something, and then I look away, and then I forgot, and I'm just glad if you start another conversation on your side, because I just plumb forgot. But one of the designs of a sinful life. You say, before we were Christians, I became a Christian in a basketball tournament. If I'm too loud, I asked him I didn't need it, but he said they needed it for the video thing. But if any of your eardrums are getting blown out, stand up, wave. You might have to come up to me because if I'm preaching, I might not see you. So, at a basketball tournament a few years back, I went to the basketball tournament, never been to church, never read the Bible, never any of that stuff, never heard about Jesus except swear words in my family, and I went to the basketball tournament, and somebody came, I got to shorten it incredibly much, but they came out and with this little book. It was the New Testament. I didn't know. If I'd known that, I'd have ran out of the place. Somebody tried to witness to me, I'd beat them to a pulp. I wanted nothing to do with it because my family line was church people, but wicked as you could get, I wanted nothing to do with it. So anyway, I heard that Jesus loved me and died on the cross and rose from the dead and ascended up to heaven 40 days after he rose from the dead, and he's on a throne listening to anyone that wants to say, Jesus, help me. Doesn't matter what kind of a sinner someone is or what wickedness they've been in. They could be a serial murderer that's in prison. We have a very, very kind and gracious God and Savior. So I prayed and went in this little side room and didn't think it made sense or it was going to work, and asked me to pray this prayer, and I'm like, well, I'll give it a shot. And Jesus, if you're there, help me. And 40-some years ago, it is still blowing my mind. I'm up here preaching to you. Really? Okay. And he anointed me with it early on, becoming a believer, and went to Bible college and just loved preaching, and here I am now, and I really appreciate all of you. You're on my daily prayer list, and it's exciting to have you there, and I know some of you pray for us. But there are certain dynamics that go with us in our Christian lives, from being unsaved to saved. You say, what are you talking about? Any of you in the last 10 years worry about something? My leg might give out, but So worry and fretting is a part of our fragile fallen nature. Worrying and fretting is something, after you become a Christian and ask Christ to be Lord and Savior, you can wallow in it, you can be miserable, you can kick your dog, you can be mean to your spouse, children, grandchildren, neighbors, everything. Or you can take God's way out And I saw this years and years and years ago. You don't ever have to fret or worry again. Do you know what the number one killer of human beings is? Stress, worry, fretting. So, years ago, we had young children, had my awesome wife and myself, and I was working myself to the bone, 60, 80 hours a week, and just bills and medical bills, and I'd come home with this big check, and my wife would give me $5 back to go to a ball card show. I'm like, you can't get anything with that, but anyway. And so one day I came home from work, and God had always helped us pay our bills and stuff, and then it was like, honey, rent is due on Monday, and we don't have the money. So I started to get a little troubled, as humans do. Maybe you don't. Maybe you just got it all going on. But so this Philippians 4, 6, and 7 passage, it says, now, some of yours says, be not anxious, but in the language, it's worry not. So God says, worry not about anything, but all things by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be, stay with me, let your request be made known unto God, and the peace of God that passes all understanding shall guard, protect, and keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Yeah, one of those words I parsed out three times that just helped you maybe understand it better. It did for me. And so I just prayed, Heavenly Father, we don't have money for rent on Monday, and you know we pay our bills, so I just beg of you. I'm thankful this has taken place. Don't like it, but I'm thankful. And would you please help? So Buddy and I, we lived in an apartment complex. On our way driving out, we normally went a straight route. This time we went around to the outside, and I looked, and people were moving. They were taking these books, and they were stacking them up, stacks this high, out by the garbage. And I like books. And I said, are those leather-bound books? And I went and looked, and I said to the people, you're throwing these away? Yes. So I piled them in my trunk. I piled them in, you know, the back seat and the floor and on top of the car a little bit. We can go slowly back to our house, and took a load there, got another load, maybe a third load. If you know anything about leather books, you say leather books, whatever. Well, I agree with you. But it just so happened, there are these book clubs that cost you $30 to $40 for a leather-bound book of a Shakespearean play or something like that. But I knew I had value. I got them in the house. I called this place, and they gave us $20 a volume, and there were like 500 of them. What do you think came out of this ruffian guy? Amen. Hallelujah. What we did is something that could worry us, whether it's a small thing or a large thing. God said, here I am. I help you. All you got to do, see, you don't have to stop worrying. You don't even have to do that. Interprets it in a way that's wrong. what's a book he doesn't protect. That's the end of the story. Most parents aren't going to have children. They're not going to watch over. It's an anomaly if that doesn't happen. But I'm saying the Bible is the Word of God. And Titus 1, 2a says, God who cannot lie. So I'm here to tell you some good stuff. Our worries and our frets, I did what God said. There's a five-step process. If you do it here, every time God guarantees peace, which there's a hurricane going on in your life, and he puts you in the middle of the eye of the storm where feathers just float to the ground. Anytime you want it, it's there. But we're rugged ex-sinners. The ones that are converted here, you say, I'm not rugged. My wife wasn't. She was beautiful and sweet. Well, yeah, so is mine. It'd be good to get out my notepad. First time I came here, I didn't know why I was getting so excited. But I've tried to be ready for it this time. I love you people. My wife loves you. Praise the Lord. So praying for you and appreciate just who you are. But the scriptures here in Philippians 4, 6, and 7, most of you have it in front of you. Do you not have the passage? Does somebody want one given to you, or are you okay? If you do, we'll give you. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Worry not about anything, but all things. By prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests, plural, be known unto God. Amen. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding. People, non-believers in the Bible, are people that are angry at God and angry at the Bible. They'll say, come on, that's not going to give you peace. Well, I don't care who you are. You can be, you know, what did that big wrestler, WWF, look like Andre the Giant's son? I don't, whatever he is, anyway. You can be a massive 600-pound dude, or, you know, that lady in India that's 2 feet and 14 pounds. You go up to down, size, wealth, lack of wealth, every person. You say, well, I don't have to have peace. Well, you have people that don't believe in God. That's ridiculous. You're not going to get peace like that. You got to use crack. Well, I've studied it, never used it, praise the Lord, or any of that. Not that I didn't want to, but I was an athlete, and athletes get kicked off of high school and college teams for using it, so I never did. And then by the time I got, you know, done with that, you know, I'm going to try everything and line them up. And then I gave my life to Christ more fully, and therefore now I've never used them. And so that's okay with me. But the world has this thing. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, to guard and protect and keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Well, wait a minute. Somebody says, Bible, that's not going to work. I don't mean to be laughing like that. I don't know why I am, but it's really awesome. That God gives us peace that passes all understanding. And verse 6a, worry not about anything. First point is worry is deflating. The second one is worry can be defeated. God gives us a process for that, and God's solution is delightful. I want everybody to take your balloon, blow it up. If you can't blow it up too much because of lung issues, you can blow it up a little, or you can just throw it back at me, whatever you want to be. If somebody doesn't have one and they want one, let me know. Incoming. Oh, I said that again. The coffee maker guy said it about him. I'm like, that's not right. And I apologize for saying that if it brings back stuff. But. So blow it up. Blow it up as large as you want, and don't let it go yet. Yeah. Okay, life, we're doing great. All the air means, man, things are going fine. Bills are paid. I'm feeling good. Just everything is awesome. My neighbor's not throwing his trash in my yard anymore. It's just life is good and God is good and it's awesome. And the instant something comes up, something that's bothering you, something small.
Why does my husband keep leaving the dirty dishes on the floor by his lazy boy?
I can't think of anything bad about my wife or I'd put her in it to balance it out. That's a good thing, but okay. So your life's going fine. Hopefully you've asked Christ to be your Savior. If you haven't, Romans 10:13, whosoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. So if you want to take a chance that you won't die tomorrow, that's your choice, but I'm not taking that chance. So our life is full of awesomeness, right? And then you start worrying about the smallest thing. And you start worrying about Uncle Bill years ago that, you know, you got a telescope for your birthday, and it's awesome, and Uncle Bill knocked it over and unintentionally broke it, and now you're still bugged every time you think of a guy named Bill. Right? It'll just wear you out. So this is what worry does to you. You can let him go.
It'll be a while.
You put bubble gum in that or something, man? That's what it does to us. Every single time, over and over, we're still bothered about the bullies that beat us up in fourth grade. Really? Do you know who it's beating up now? Us. When we're worried about things going on and the bills and this and that. Let me tell you, the Bible is clear. You give tithe and offering, and God promises the last book of Malachi to bless you so much that your barns will be full, and it'll just fill it over the rim. Worry is deflating. You say, well, worry, what am I going to do about it, Doc? Well, I could be somebody telling you. I could be somebody that lived. So you need to think this morning, are you willing to consider a way to deal with your fear and get peace in your life? That's what you have to consider. Because the Word of God, it's not like reading Shakespeare. It's not like reading a newspaper. Oh, look, LeBron James scored 49 million points last night and they lost by a point. What? We went to a church years ago on vacation. We walked in, the guy gets up, and he brings a newspaper with him. His sermon was the newspaper. What? We waited about 5 minutes, 7 hours. Oh, boy, honey, we got to go. It's about to fall in. I don't want to be here. It ain't my problem. I'm not using the newspaper, but we left. Well, you can use the newspaper, or you can use the most powerful force backed up by God in the universe. So you say, well, first of all, you got to read it, then you got to believe it. Or if there's a topic or an issue, you know, ask your pastor and some other people here how to solve some of these things. But, so the first thing, worrying is what? Deflating. Like the silly balloons, I know, I'm trying hard. You think that's silly, wait till I get done. But I was studying the Bible years ago, and it hit me like my wife hit me with a skillet. She probably done it in my sleep, but I never felt it. Yay, hard-headed husband. But it deflates us. You say, well, if the Bible said worry not, that'd be enough. You go, grizzle, grizzle, oh, it says not to worry, and I'm trying, but I have no fix for it. But when God, from His Word, gives you the fix, I mean, if you want to worry, go ahead. You want to fret, you want to complain and do all that, you're going to die early, and you might even die today or tomorrow of a heart attack. There are millions of people in the world, billions actually, that have a heart defect that just enough worry is going to kill. So you can do that, or you can be happy. Yeah, there are a lot of awesome people here. What do I say? Yeah. Mike, I'll ask you up here in a while. So if you're sleeping, your brother can just wake you up whatever way you got. He's coming up for a visual. Teenager awesome because I were one. Be careful for nothing. It means worry about nothing. If God stopped there, okay, I'll work at it. But He kindly gives us a 5-step process. Look at it. But in everything, by prayer, what are we supposed to pray about? Everything. There have been times I'm the biggest knucklehead. I don't care the collective husbands and men in here. They don't come close to the collective this guy. I'm just, you cannot believe the crazy things, the things that I try to fix on my own or try to find on my own. And about 10 years ago, I lost my keys in my house. How do you do that? It's easy, I guess. We looked and she looked and we know this thing we do. Where were they the last time I had them? Didn't help. I could have had 3 hot fudge sundaes. And that doesn't help. So my wife and I looked for probably an hour. And there was a little tapping on my spirit. Woo! Holy Spirit didn't say it exactly this way. This is an interpretation from me. Knucklehead, I'm here. I'm tapping on your heart. Ask me. I know where they are. I'm like, well, because I've never used drugs other than good pain medicine from doctors, that's really good and I like it. So I finally said, okay, Lord, I know you know where they are. Could you put them somewhere where we could see them? I go into the kitchen. 30 seconds later, boop, there they were. We checked that out so many times. It's crazy. There they were. Holy Spirit, what do you think about that? Awesome. Thank you. So the 20 or 30 times I've lost my keys since then. Next time after, it took me some time, half hour. Another time, then 15 minutes and 10, and each time I prayed again. And now, if I've lost my favorite pen in the office, I'm doing this, bro. He promises God Almighty that cannot lie. Stay with me. I hope you do, because if you don't study it when you get home, there are 5 steps in this. Verse 6. You do them, and God will give you peace that blows your mind. Worry not about nothing, but everything by prayer and supplication. Prayers, if I prayed for my pen, you know where it is. Please. Be okay, put it someplace I can see it. And then, 5 seconds later, it bugs me because this is my favorite pen. Supplication is when I say, okay, I'm asking again. Please help me to find it. You pray about something, it starts to bug you. Supplication is you just keep praying about it. You don't give up on it. Please stay with me. Everything by prayer and supplication, and here's the biggie, with thanksgiving. Man, oh man, I prayed this aspect the first 15 years of my Christianity, and it says you get this awesome peace. You're in the hurricane. Well, the hurricane is around you. Instead of you being in it, now you're in eye of the storm. You know what I'm talking about? So I prayed about things and prayed about things from my past and other things as a child and people and all that, and it wasn't working. Then that word thanksgiving, I'd realized because I didn't want to be that thankful about certain things, I memorized it without that word. For years, I've been quoting it. And I look. Thanksgiving, I said, oh, man. So, example, my parents divorced when I was young, and my dad made a gazillion dollars a year, moved 30 years away. He moved, that's a long way. He moved 30 miles away, and then my mother was on whatever the welfare stuff is. And I was upset with them 15 years later. Then I saw this Thanksgiving. Ooh, you better put on your seatbelts here, because if you want peace from God, because peace from God is one of the most powerful things He gives believers. Of all the things He does. So I start praying about my parents divorcing. And then I looked at it. So I said, okay, God, I'm thankful that You're God and in charge and awesome, and I'm thankful. Please give me the peace. It never happened. I was praying, why isn't this happening? If God's word's not working, you ain't looking at it right. Because it's never God. He's just good and powerful and wonderful. So it wasn't enough to be thankful that they divorced. I had to be thankful it happened. A lot of things happened in our life when we were young or recently. And here's the big kicker. I got a neighbor in my area. He worries about everything on the planet. And most of what he worries about, it could happen tomorrow. It could happen down the road. Oh, the police don't like me. I think they're going to break into my home. What? Go break into your home. We have heavy trucks going down our street. Moving his house a bit. Oh, no, it's going to destroy my house. And when I go to sell it, I say, what? I've been talking to him about being a Christian. He's in the place where he says, well, I'm thinking about it. Well, don't think. Just worry and worry and worry and worry and worry the cats in the neighborhood. What if they able to climb my house and get into the attic and just tear up my antique? What? What? So, there are thousands of things in our life from our past, from recent past, far past, present, stuff about tomorrow. There's some talk that Russia literally is getting warships together 50 miles from Alaska. Oh, no! Are you kidding me? Heavenly Father, praise the Lord. If they attack and drop nukes, I will see you sooner rather than later. If, you know, Heavenly Father, it's still kind of a Christian nation. Look at the people here. And thousands and hundreds of thousands of churches. So when I said, Heavenly Father, I am thankful. There are things called offenses. First degree offense. If somebody comes up on the street with a stick and they're about to hit me in the head, I'm sorry, guy, but I know moves enough to put you down, and I hope I don't have to, but I will. Somebody, my wife and I are walking, and some guy's coming and looking at her and going to hit her or beat her up. She's the second degree offense. First degree and second, or my grandchildren if I'm walking with them or whatever. They're a second degree and I can defend them. But you know what we do? You're talking to your sibling.
Did you hear about Aunt Sally and how she leaves her dogs in a pen all day?
Wait a minute. Or even worse,
did you know that Aunt Sally's friend from the library's friend and that person that is actually related to the mayor of Woolleybug, Tennessee, and you're all worked up and you see a dog and you, wait a minute, that's a 50th offense. So God lets us have protection and retribution in some ways to protect ourself and our loved ones. You understand? Everything past that is past the second degree. All of that. Then we say, Heavenly Father, it was sin of me that I was worried about Aunt Bethy's cousin, person, friend, thing from the library's mayor's cousin. I confess it as sin, and I pray right now that you will give me peace, and I'm going to be thankful. Uh-oh. It's hard when you first start this. I'm thankful that it's happened, that the dog's been left in cages all the time, but I'm thankful it's happened. What? Yeah, none of our business. If we make it our business, we just die sooner, we're miserable, we have a bad testimony. And look at this. I'm sorry it's taken a bit. Stay with me, please. Be careful or worry about nothing, but everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Ooh, look at the next four or five words. Everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be known unto God. This is one of the few places in the Bible God says pray. He said ask. Seek and knock. He says, call upon me and I'll show thee great and mighty things. As you don't know. You don't understand how great he's going to be. But here, it's different. Here, in this process of five steps, he said, wow, this is powerful. The great God of the universe says to his people, you're worried about things, you're troubled about them, you're trying to be thankful, you're trying to be thankful it even happened, thankful that God's in control, and he wants us to make requests. Wait a minute, that's singular, plural. Listen, you can say, oh, wow.
Y'all have a whole guys in here. Well, we said the name Jesus enough to deal with us. Now, I don't think that'd be a difference.
So, over and over, I've had to learn. Most men I know, they're just, They're kind of blockheads. Not because they're terrible people, but because when we grow and we get strong, then we protect those we care about. And when an engine needs work, we may not know how to do it, but we get it apart. And sometimes we get it back together and it works. The direction thing, it is no joke, man. After 4,000 years of marriage, I remember times we're driving someplace and says, honey, this was before cell phone. Honey, you think we ought to stop and ask directions? No, girl. I got it. And after an hour, I ain't got it. So now I'm trying to listen a little more. And 40 more years of marriage, I think I'll be the perfect husband. So God says here, make requests. You know, you've heard of the concept, let God's will be done. Don't take this the wrong way. That's a cop-out. God says, make requests. And God expects us, whatever it is. I prayed for my Uncle Bill in the hospital. He just became a believer, and it would be nice to, you know, spend more time with him, with the Lord, and disciple him or whatever. Please heal him and bring him back to us. then it's nevertheless. But people say, I've talked to, oh, God's will be done. And they pray about something, and I'm like, well, you didn't make a request. So that means whatever God does, you got it coming. You're not going to ask the miraculous God to do something wonderful, and you just say, thy will be done, then it's not, I'm not meaning it as a bad way, they might as well not pray for Uncle Bob. But you make requests. So here in this passage, and I know this is a little crazy, Micah, come up, please. Blow the balloon up while you're coming. If you don't have one, pick one up on the floor. And hopefully they don't chew on backer before they get to church. All right, I got another one for you. Now blow that up big time. You can come around and face the people. They want to see how good you are at it. So the first thing, well, worry is what? Deflating. All right. Let her go. Thank you, sir. Very good job. You're to be commended. What kind of a handshake is that? You need a bodyguard. He and his brother, this guy, I didn't crack my knuckles first and paid for it. So the first thing, worry is deflating. It changes our mood. It just is so destructive for us. Okay, all I can say is I'm sorry ahead of time. Oh. What's this thing right here? Foot. I'm trying hard. Be patient. The second. Huh? What? Amen. It's my foot. That's good, but we're going to stick with feet. The second thing, not only is worry... is what? Deflating. The second thing is, God has given us a process to defeat it. Hello, do I ever know? That's good. The way he's given us to defeat worry, stress. Give me some synonyms. Worry, stress, fretting. Huh? Anxious.
Fear.
Huh?
Fear.
Fear. Very good.
Concern.
Concern. You give me one more. We got geniuses in this place. Somebody make up a word. I don't care. We got to get to seven. That's the number. You know. All right, somebody just make up one.
Apprehension.
Oh, who would have one made up? All right. But he gives us a five-step process. This is really awesome because when you read it, you can parse it out to 5 to 9 pieces here. But the primary pieces, say it with me, please. But we'll start verse 6. Be careful or worry about nothing. But read it with me, please. But in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. So God says, somebody give me an issue here. It doesn't have to be so personal. I say, I thought they were worried about that.
Riots.
Very, very good. First of all, riots over there, right? But eventually, I take my wife to shop or whatever. And here's something I hope you can get. God cares about each of you personally, not just the collective family, but you and you and you and you and you. Yeah, even Micah and Noah. They're pretty cool, I can tell you. But he loves them too. We were teenagers once. They're here, and praise the Lord, their dad might have grabbed them each one by an ear and just brought them out of here because their dad's pretty stout, you know what I'm saying? But they're here, and they're not sleeping, and I don't have to use my spit gun. Yeah, no, it really is, because I'm not a good shot, so some of these dear people, the wrong ones are going to get hit. How can my wife and I love you people as much as we do after this is the second time? I just, when Pastor called and asked me to preach here, I thought, okay. And I held my excitement a little bit and we hung up. And I just floated in the whole day. So the riots. So let's just say, read in the paper that riotous groups of individuals, that's the first time I ever used that, kind of rolls off the tongue. But groups are coming here, and they're going to do riots in Tillamook, or as I call it, Tillamook. My grandson loves the stuff from cows. This guy does not. The smell, so you didn't misunderstand. But literally, let's just say that there are reports they're going to come here and they're going to break out store windows and they're going to burn down some houses. Is that far from the truth that could happen? No, that could happen. That could be in the newspaper. That could be on the news. Okay, let's just say, for sake of argument, you all live in this town, or the town you live in, that they're going to do it there. Perfect illustration. You say, Heavenly Father, I choose not to worry or fret about it. Instead, I'm going to pray and trust you to protect my family and to protect me and to protect our town, and that it will work out that they don't ever come here. If they do, the authorities can take care of it. And you say, supplicate. Now, here's the awesome thing. When you make a request, Heavenly Father, just protect. I hope you get this. When you pray a prayer like that, if you pray just for you and your family, that's not good. God wants us to pray for our family and others. For years, we'd be driving different places around the country, and the traffic would stop, and we get to the top of the hill, and it's like forever and ever, amen, are the cars parked. And over and over, I kept praying, Heavenly Father, open up traffic for us. And I did it over and over. And again, the Holy Spirit, he has this real nice, soft, but firm enough little hammer to go bong. What? What now? You're praying for you, but don't you think it'd be a good idea to pray for the rest of them? So I thought about it. My wife might have given me this idea. She's awesome, praise the Lord. So we're at another traffic jam. I said, Heavenly Father, please open up the traffic for us and everyone else. In about 10 seconds, whoop, they start moving, we start moving. Because I wasn't asking for others. One of the main aspects of Christianity is for others, to love others, to be kind to others. We have no problem normally being kind to ourselves. So when you make a request about bills that are due next week and you don't have the money or the riots or whatever, when you say, it says, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. So first, we have to be thankful God's allowing this. And number two, thankful that it's even happening the way. Then we make our request, protect us and our children and our friends and people in this county or whatever. And then when it troubles you again, 5 seconds later, when you get your fourth cup of coffee. The awesome thing about God, we don't have to reiterate the whole prayer. You can say, beep. And that means to God, what you prayed, you're supplicating on just by a sound. Or just by going, mm-hmm. Or amen. Or whatever. And then that idea of making requests, I hope you're all still with me. This is such a power-packed passage. But when you pray and you make the request and you're thankful that God's in control, that it even happened or could happen, then you When you make your request and you supplicate, you just say amen. Whatever you prayed to him, or just, you know, put your hand up, which means amen, hallelujah, just as I prayed it, please. So a lot of us spend time in prayer that, you know, God doesn't want to hear the same prayer over and over and over again, unless it's for an unsaved relative or if it's something that you're just really passionate about. But normally he wants you to make a powerful prayer, and then he wants you, like he already knows about your unsaved cousin Billy or Sally or whatever. So once you pray powerfully for them, when you go to pray for them again, you raise your hand. If you're going to the store, just raise your hand. God sees it, knows it, and it's, yes, very powerful. So can anybody reach any of the balloons? Can anybody reach any of the balloons that are there? If you can, just whenever you're ready, just let it go. Put some air in it, let her go, and that's to exemplify that worry is what? And I have clean socks on. My boots aren't too bad. And it can be defeated. Thank you very much. Is that the one you did, Don? He's a crazy balloon blower, sender out person. If you, hey, at birthday parties, he can be a, yeah, probably that. At birthday parties for kids, he can just blow up balloons and let them go. You ready? I told you that was a poltergeist here. I went all the way around and nailed her. Are you okay? Yeah. It hit my wife. It started with a bruise. It just ballooned. Then it goes up and it's whoa. So if I do more than touch her, I'll have bruises all over the place. She could call the popo and I could be carried away, but she hadn't done it yet. Amen. And the third one, the first one, worry is deflating. Worry can be defeated. And God's solution is delightful. I hope I've gone on and on about verse 6 enough for you. The five-step process, could be 9 depending on how you do it, but the five-step process. Then God says, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. He promises. He makes the statement. If he'd have made the statement, do not worry as a command, period, would that be enough? Yeah, he could do that. He's done that a lot of places in the Bible. But he says, worry not. It's a command. Then he says, if you do these 5 things, you pray with supplication. You say, I'm not a prayer. Well, it's about time you become one. Because the awesome thing, if you've asked Christ to be your Savior, if you haven't, please do it before you leave the building. Then you just pray. Father, my truck's acting up. Could you please help with someone that can help to fix it, or I can fix it, but please help. And I'm thankful it's messing up, and I'm thankful you're in control, or whatever juicer you have at home's not working well, and you just bought it a week ago, and like it's acting up, and you pray this and ask him for help from him or someone else, and you talk to your, here I go with this cousin thing. I don't know where it's going. But cousin Allie, and you talk to her, she said, oh, I got one of those like 5 years ago. All you got to do is wiggle this little thing. And it works. I can tell you, honestly, I don't know a thing I have prayed about in this way that God has not worked miraculously and powerfully. Not because I'm anything, but his word says it right here. It's like God's will. There's a 4-step process, only one place in the Bible. If you want to know God's will, Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. Don't turn there, please. Because if I turn there, it's over. Y'all going to have to, you know, say, there's a UFO, and I look, and then I look, and y'all go. Because if I go to that passage, it, time-wise, just it just won't be good for some of you. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6 gives a four-step process. If you do it, one after another, God promises to show you. The other places in the Bible, they're kind of ethereal. Ethereal means just things kind of floating up there, and oh, it's nice, it's in the Bible kind of thing, but I don't quite get where it's going. John 3:16, that whoever believes in Jesus, for God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. That's ethereal. That doesn't tell you how to be saved. It just tells you if you believe. Other verses are ethereal, but the powerful open door to it, for example, is Romans 10:13. That's how you do it, right? And all the other verses point to it. And the Bible has thousands of these combinations of you do these two things, or five, or forgiveness of sins. 1 John 1:9, God says, if you confess your sin, that's our job. Agree with him we've sinned. And he says he'll do nine other things immediately. And all we have to do is say it. The sin. The Bible is full of these things where he gives us these step-by-step things. But he promises. Is there anyone in here that doesn't understand what I'm trying to say about the five steps? Anybody here, please raise your hand. Or ask someone else afterwards. But we can have peace. You say, well, okay, we do these five-step process and choose not to worry, then God promises. The peace of God, again, peace is the Greek and even the Hebrew word is pretty close with the idea that there's a quietness. I've never been in an eye of a hurricane, and I guess that wouldn't be my number one request. But a hurricane comes through, and sometimes people are down in their fruit cellars, and they've survived, and they hear it's calm, and they come back out. And leaves and stuff are just floating down. But the wind's 130 miles an hour outside of you. God is saying the peace here he will give you. Stillness. That's what peace is. I was angry at my parents for divorcing. Like I said, at least 15 years. 15 is a southeastern United States term. But when I said, okay, I'm thankful you're in control, and that it happened, finally I went, oh. We could sit here together, or my wife and I could meet with you at a picnic for 10 hours, and each of you individually could go on and on and on and think that bothered us as children. There's this guy in, what do you call that? Well, anyway, there's a town going north. No, it's that. Keep going. It's by Garibaldi. It's past. Yeah, there it is. She gets the prize. I don't know. You can pick up an extra balloon. Absolutely. So there's a guy, when I go in the shop, every time, he's like 85 or whatever. I go in there, you know, years ago, when I was a kid, my grandpa gave me this coin, only one made, from England. And this guy stole it, and he became a multimillionaire by his property. It's incredible. And robbed me of, I want to say, excuse me, that was yesterday? No. 10 years? No. It's like 50 years ago, and he's still everything. Yeah, like Frankenstein. Wait a minute. Hey, if you're going to live by yourself in the middle of the woods and do a garden and away from everybody, which some people try to do, you think you can be as ornery as you want and kick every animal you can catch and beat down trees with steel rods? Yeah, but if you're a believer, There's nobody else around you affecting but you, but you're affecting the heart of God. And he's going to be grieved with you. So even if we're by ourselves, but the point is, God promises us each a... Well, people that have heard us as children or recently or after we were adults or whatever, and we're fretting and worrying about it, guess who it's hurting? Is it hurting them? They don't care. They're just hurting more people. But it's hurting us. So this process is really, really powerful. Anybody have a balloon to let her fly again? Did I get a chance to do that or not? I want to do it. If anybody has one. It was about 15 years ago. I had a certain way I preached, and then reading the scriptures, and Christ used illustrations right around them. And I thought, wait a minute. So since then, I've been using illustrations, and some of them are so crazy, you can never forget it. Hey. Oh, hey, it went away from you. Poltergeist is gone. Who prayed about it? So worry is what? You know it's deflating, right? And so I'm pretending to take off my boot, but maybe I should take this over off because Don's really close to it. I don't know the effect yet because I've been too far away from it. Yeah, so I take my boot off. And so God is willing to defeat this. And what verse gives us the steps to defeat worry every time? Verse 6. Somebody says, verse 6, where are you at in the Bible, preacher? Are you in the same service? Turn off that game thing. All right, the second one is, God's solution is delightful. Now, you may want to close your eyes. I think it's got some potency to it. They're like, you didn't give us a chance. You don't say it and then do it. His blessing... I got to get the teenagers for real. I'll wait and get him when he picks his head up later. He's like, what was that sound he made? Bam! So, was that bright enough? Say, so, yeah, 40 years ago, I'd have beat you up for that. Well, I'm sorry, whoever's thinking that, really am. You know, without question, the hardest thing my wife and I have gone through. And some of you know this, but it just works so well, powerfully with this, I need to use it. So, a number of years ago, someone murdered our two teenage girls. And, first of all, the guy that did it, they got captured. And so I cried every night. I didn't sleep for 72 straight hours, and I just cried all night. And having cried 3 tears in my life as a guy, it was crazy. So then I found out the guy was going to be arraigned in this courthouse. And I'd made up my mind because he wasn't going to get that much time. So I thought about it, and it was because of my lack of sleep that I was going to be in the courthouse. We came around the corner, I was going to snap his neck. That's it. Take me to the pokey or whatever you call it. And so I prayed and I said, knowing this process, you know, God was so gracious to slowly move it right into the center of my spirit. So I said, okay, Heavenly Father, And I was sitting there outside the courthouse doors where he was going to come in, and I was waiting. And I said, okay, Father, thanks for goodness and kindness, and I'm going to try to be thankful that you're in charge. And I couldn't quite get thankful that it happened out of my mouth. And when I had my head down praying, I looked up, and he was already going into the courthouse with three policemen around. Then, a couple days later, Lord Jesus made it clear, I want you to call him and forgive him. I'm like, what? Don't mean this bad, you know, Lord Jesus, but I know you're talking to somebody else because you got to give me 30 years to get to this point. He said, I need you. Here comes this passage again. I said, okay, I'm praying about this. Gonna have to supplicate about it after I make requests, but could you please, please make it so that he spends a lot longer in prison than right now? I guess it was 30 days was on the books. It was so outdated and stupid. And I made the request, please, this might not be in the exact order, but I made the request. Because if there's anything that's bothering you or you're worrying about, Lord willing, after I tell you this, you can forgive people from the past, people that have hurt you, you know, relationships, health things. So I said, all right, I make the request that, and it's biblical, God, that he spend a good amount of time incarcerated. And then I said the word. I'm thankful you're in control, God. You know the words I said after that? Anybody remember what I said, the two things about Thanksgiving? First one is that he's in control. The second one is that it happened. There are certain things in your life from your past and otherwise. I know because I'm an expert on it. I had to do this process for hundreds, if not thousands of things to get peace in different things. It's stupid to let other people ruin our life and rule it from the past till now and the future. It's ridiculous. Live an awesome life. God's told us you can have peace. So what happened was, as I said, I'm even thankful it happened. And would you guess, based on verse 7, what he gave me? Peace. Now, this happens with small things or large things. It happens with relationships. It happens with memories. It happens with fears of tomorrow, most of which will never happen, by the way. So had our lawyer contact his lawyer, and he called Ruth and I. Were you on the other line? Man, oh, man, oh, man, oh, man. God had given me the peace, and when he answered, I said, we're Christians, and we're going to forgive you for what you did. Guess what would have happened if I hadn't forgave him? I'd have been chewing people up. I'd have been ornery. I'd have been screaming like a banshee. I'm not sure what that is, but I think they scream loud. I'd have been here just throwing fire. No. He gave me the peace. We said, we're not going to forgive you from what the law might do. And guess what? Made the request. And the law was changed just in time. I think he got 20 years. We weren't into it enough. We didn't go to any court stuff or anything like that. But this all-powerful God, this is the way it is. You need a whole lot of faith in a little bitty guy. Or you need just a little bit for a big one. So I beg of you, I think everybody in here knows, I mean, maybe not teenagers, because you're like, man, I get up to cereal in the cupboards and get money for basketball, and I get this, and protected by my dad, pretty soon they'll protect him. But even teenagers have some worries, not as many. We remember when we were kids, boy, was it nice. It was nice, and then it wasn't nice anymore. Then, you know, I have to pay what? Rent? I have to pay what? Electric? What is that? Hope you don't mind me picking on you guys. You're just awesome. But we know, and I think you know, that worry is what? Deflating. Takes your strength. You just mean and ornery and cantankerous. Times that I get a little upset at my wife, I just realize, why did I marry her? Because she's the sweetest thing I ever met, ever. And she loved Jesus and all of those things, and she was a good athlete. And unfortunately, she got A's and B's, and I got A, B's, and C's in college, and it just frustrated me trying to beat her at the stuff. But I'm here to say, everybody here knows that worry is depleting or deflating. It's hopefully it's fleeting too, but and God gives this five-step process. If you do it, don't leave out Thanksgiving, don't leave out you're thankful it even happened. And he promises peace that passes all understanding. Do you know what the world does for peace? Thousands of companies in America and in the world, IBM and a lot of those, they give them a half hour a day at their desk or a place to meditate. And they go and they meditate for 30 minutes that they're on an island in the Tahiti. The Hindus brought to this country, take these psychedelic drugs and then, you know, focus on these things and you'll have peace. Yeah, you'll have peace till you're done. And when you get up, you're still angry at Aunt Maddie, whatever. You're still upset about the coach cutting you or not having you start on the basketball team. You're still worried about things with your parents. Wait a minute. God's way. He takes it and it is gone. It's only gone when you do what he says. You make requests, but you are thankful God's in charge and thankful that it even happened. But if you do it God's way, I have not one drop of anger to my parents anymore. I'm not even angry at the dude that killed our kids. I'm telling you, God's way works and there's no other way. Do you know what heaven is to the Hindus? And now millions of Americans? This is, they call it nirvana. They die and they go to a place, and in that place, just for them, there's a lotus flower. Lotus flower is this big flowery thing. This is exactly true. They go to nirvana, they cross their legs, inside, whatever you call it, I don't even know what it's called. Lay in their bottom, cross their legs, put their head into their navel, as if, I can't do that. So I guess it wouldn't work for me there. I don't know, okay, gotcha. You focus on a lotus flower forever. That is their heaven, that is their peace. No, thank you. I want to know, I mean, the Bible says to be absent from the body is what? Present with the Lord. So when I'm gone, I'm with Jesus. That's what I want. I want to see Jesus and my relatives and all that, even my children. They can wait just a little bit because I'm going to find Jesus someplace. And that's forever. And go to the end of the Bible, and it says, in that place, there will be no more liars, no more wicked people, no more murderers, no more. If you look at the list, it's chapter 21 and 22, there are two lists. But I'm here to tell you, Jesus is it. If you have any questions, could it be somebody else? No! Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes to the Father but through Christ. I'm here to tell you, if anybody's, I mean, like I told you right at the beginning, you know, Jesus, I don't know if you're real or exist or this Bible stuff, but I'll ask you one time. If you're there, help me. And I'm not saying I'm the hardest nut to crack in history, but I'm telling you I'm up there, Wayne. And he changed my life, and I'm here. It's like 44 minutes ago I gave my life to him. And yes, you know, it's 44 years. But, and here I am. And I hope you do that process. If you didn't want to raise your hand and say, preacher, I didn't understand it, which would have meant another 20 minutes to explain it to him. If that was any of you, just there are some people here that got it. Most of you probably did. And but I want you to be blessed so much, it's blessing your shoes and socks home. And you get, you know, you go to work and you walk in. Hey, Bob, where are them shoes and socks? I don't know. They just keep coming. Because that's how much. I appreciate everybody. Is there a question before I'm done? I was hoping there was a question, but that cute little kid raised her hand to touch her mom's hair, and I'm like, come on. Let's pray. Thank you for these dear and fantastic people. Bless Pastor on his vacation with his wife, and just continue to bless each of us. If we pray for one another, we know that worry is deflating, and we know that it can be defeated, and we're just very thankful, Father, that you've proven through peace in my life and my wife's thousands of times, and I hope everyone here doesn't wait till tomorrow to put this to work with the help of the Holy Spirit. Beautiful and precious name of Jesus. I pray with you.
Amen. So,
Pastor,
I have a question.
Yes.
Do you have before we go,
if you grab this card, and it's got on the back, questions I have regarding today's message, or I will apply this message to my life by, and then you get to put how you're going to do it. So just do that. If you have any questions, you know, you could talk to Doc, or you could talk to Renee and I, or just, I mean, we could all talk to one another. It looks like from everybody that's in here, we all got a pretty good ability to understand this stuff. But if you have any questions, call Pastor Brad, put it on this thing, put it in that box back there or on the plate back there, and he'll get back to you. Those of you who've ever filled these out, if you put down there that you want to talk to him, you know he'll call you. So please feel free. Yes, sir.
If everyone, if they can reach it, if they can put the balloons on the chair so I don't have to go all the way down the floor so I can use it tomorrow.
All right. All right, well, you guys have a great Labor Day. Great time off, and enjoy the rest of your day. And we'll see you all soon, hopefully. God bless you. Thank you, Doc and Ruth.